Yeah, I mean, if I didn't have, I mean, I have a lot of, there's a lot of opportunity in my patch. So like that's the
Yeah,
only silver
that's
lining.
good.
I mean, glass half full, baby.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, that's you. That's you. You're a half glass
Most of
half
the
full kind of
time.
guy.
Most of the time.
Like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a time where you've been like a pessimistic person.
Oh, I have. But
But
it's
really
just
though, like pessimist or just like things aren't going my way, now I'm upset. Because
Yeah.
it's a different thing, right? Like, if you're looking at something that you've, you know, a new challenge, a new endeavor or whatever, you're always like, oh, this is going to go really well. It's not necessarily like a situation where you're like, oh, I didn't get what I thought I was going to get, now I'm upset about it. That's not glass half full. That's just being upset that you
Huh.
didn't get your way. Half glass full, glass half full is like, you know, it's something that hasn't happened yet, but you're like, okay, well, like this is gonna go great. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? I guess that's not necessarily true. I guess there's certain instances where you can be like, all right, well, it didn't go my way, but I did learn this, or I
Yeah.
did get to go through this. You know what I mean? But
I mean, I think that's just the, I think that's the only way to fucking be, dude.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just, for me, that's the only way I've made it this far.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's been a grind. And it's like, if I just wanted to play the pity party and be fucking poor me all the time and sad and, you know, I mean, I just don't think that benefits anybody.
No.
You know what I mean?
Have you always been like that? Did you learn that from somebody, or is that just something that's like you think is inherently built into your personality?
Dude.
You know what I'm saying? Because you grew up in such a weird environment where it was like, not to call anybody out, but it was kind of a negative
Yeah.
situation that you had to go through. Like, did you have like a grandpa or like an aunt or something that was like super positive? Like, how did you even learn that to begin with?
I don't know, man. Like I know it is weird 'cause like I think I've have kind of just always been geared to try to be this happier person. I think just naturally, I that's just kind of been like who I have been, which I don't know where that comes from. Like maybe there is an ounce of my parents as much as they have their faults. Like
Right.
maybe there is that ounce of them that
Yeah.
like passed that down. But I don't know, man. I do remember like one thing that like really stuck with me. Actually, it's funny you bring this up, like grandpa or something. Like one of my grandpas, when my parents lost custody of us and we went and stayed with them down in Alabama at school. And this is such a silly thing, but it was just like they had a banner that said attitude is everything. And my grandpa would just walk me over there all the time and he goes,
Yeah.
and then I for some reason, dude, I always like attitude is everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like maybe subconsciously that just like triggered something. And 'cause I was probably what, like 8 or 9 at that point, maybe
Yeah.
7 or 8. And he'd already noticed that I probably was a rowdy kid and I was like going through shit, you know.
You are already starting trouble.
Bro.
You're already a problem.
Bro, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean,
Yeah.
fuck, dude. I'm
Yeah.
James Gates. I'm a naughty
Yeah,
boy.
but I feel like I've always looked at it like when I met you, you were just kind of a product of the environment that you grew up in. Whereas like I chose to be a bad kid. Like I chose to be a part of like that horrible situation. You know what
You're
I
like the
mean?
kid that lives in the nice
Yeah.
houses,
Yeah.
suburbs, but goes and hangs out with the
Yeah.
corner kids.
100%. I tell people to this day, I'm like, I grew up on the right side of the tracks, but I enjoyed hanging out on the wrong side of the tracks.
But it's also to that point though,
Yeah.
is because like as much as you were on the right side of the
Yeah.
tracks, clearly doesn't matter if
Yeah.
you have the nice house, you have the
Yeah.
supporting parents. Like our my foster parents, your parents are amazing, like good fucking people. But clearly you faced your own adversity, just like and so because you couldn't relate maybe to the people that are in the neighborhood mostly,
Yeah.
maybe that's why,
Yeah.
right? Because then you would hang out with the kids that like struggled with other
Yeah.
things.
I appreciate you giving me that grace. I would also say that a big part of it was like Sean, as much as I love Sean and to this day, like he's still like one of my favorite people. Like he was kind of a rowdy kid and I just kind of followed. You know what I mean? And then Jeffrey, like as much as I love Jeffrey to death, his older siblings were not that great of influence.
That's true.
You know, and then like, yeah. Look at Kristen.
Yeah.
I love Kristen. She also kind of was like, she grew up in the same house as me, same family.
Yeah.
And she did naughty things. You know what I mean? Like she wasn't the best child either. That's so I don't good, know. I don't know. I really don't know why.
Good, that's a good
yeah.
point because I mean, how many kids do you know that grow up in good environments? The yeah. parents do all this stuff, but then somehow yeah. they end up being little fucks.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like you got to wonder, like, is this kid just a shit or yeah. what is that?
And if anything, like what I went through, if mm-hmm. anything that like played into like depression mm. and sadness.
Totally.
And not necessarily like rebellion. Yeah. Because when I like being, you know, doing the things that I did, it was fun.
Yeah.
Like I didn't do it because I was an angry kid.
Right.
I did it because like being mischievous was fun. Like yeah. going out and like doing things where you think you're going to get in trouble and like
dude,
walking.
It's a rush. Towing,
it's a rush.
Yeah.
And then getting away with it is fun. And then like you start building up these stories and then you're like, oh, where are we going to get to this weekend?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I really don't like as much as I'd like to be like, oh yeah, I went through all these things and that's why I was this way. Nah.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed like being kind of like a rowdy goon. I mean, and my friends were not, you know, and then, you know, Ethan,
yeah,
as much as, you know, and Ethan always had my back, but he was not a good like influence at all.
Yeah. And I think that is actually, I think that's like probably the turning point too, is like realizing who your crowd is.
Oh, totally.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're, you know, I think if you're like, it was just the oldest thing in the book. If like you're getting in trouble, and I mean, which I got in trouble as a kid all the freaking
sure.
time.
Sure.
They would tell you, be like, you shouldn't be mm-hmm. hanging around these kids. I mean,
yeah.
they're bad news, this and that. And it's like, okay. And then, you know.
Yeah. So that is actually a really good point that you bring up because I also like credit the eggs
yeah.
for kind of pulling me out of
yeah.
those, that lifestyle. Why did you start being like, what motivated you to be friends with those guys? Because you were making friends with them before you even moved into the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I know sports obviously had a yeah. somewhat of a role in it, but it's not like you were playing, you know, because like when you first moved in, you weren't a part of any team, were you?
I was on the basketball team, I think.
I don't know if you were.
Yeah, I was because when I was at the foster home before yeah. I moved in, mm-hmm. I would remember I'd have to wake up at like 5 a.m., carry all my school shit, basketball bag, take two buses.
That's right.
Three.
That's right.
Like I'd like literally was like, hustling.
Yeah, then you moved in and I started driving you.
Bro.
Remember when I crashed my car?
Yes, of course, dude.
And you didn't even care, bro. You
I was like, get me to
yeah,
practice.
Yeah, 100%. I had to like walk to some guy's house, knock on his door. I was like, I
didn't
crashed
give a
my
fuck.
Car. You're like, dude, I'm going to be late.
Dude, I loved basketball so much.
It was your outlet.
It was my outlet. Was 100%.
Outlet. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like.
And that was like your group of people that you wanted to go hang out with. And,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. I think. Well, what's weird is like I guess I mean Richie was wrestling, like a handful of the eggs were kind right. of scattered about.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I really don't know how it just happened. I think just naturally it organically happened, maybe because like we were at the same parties or we were maybe at same stuff or.
But it was almost like you. Slowly like removed yourself from the old crowd to like hang
totally.
Out with these guys.
That's true.
And then I that pulled me into it too.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Like I always have Sean and Jeffrey and Cody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like those guys are always going to be like a core part of my life. But in terms of like going to spend the weekend with them doing drugs,
right.
I started to start going to parties with you. Although I was always going to Chickie's parties.
Yeah.
Chickie always had me as part because
yeah, totally.
him and I were homies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But like when you moved in, I don't know if it was a conscious move of yours or not, but like you really did like start to draw away from the old crowd and started to hang out with like Itch and Aaron and all of them and Bimbo.
And I probably did that like not realizing mm-hmm. it, but I probably was just like these guys are like going to college.
Yeah.
They're planning for college.
Totally.
They get good grades.
Totally.
They play sports. Let's just
yeah.
keep it real. They're popular.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's just, this is
but
like,
you didn't need to be popular. You
were
already
care.
Popular.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like trying to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't like, dude, I want to be the popular kid at school. But then, yeah, you end up like just kind of having fun and just being silly James. It just
fucking happened. And you still were James. Like, you were still like kind of a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, dude. Because I'm like,
if anything, we brought them down. If anything, we pulled them to our level.
Or, no, we exposed that they also have wanted some to do shit. It. Yeah. We just was like, hey, the water feels great. Like,
jump on in.
Jump on in, dude. Let's go fucking they had their egg toes some in. Houses. Yeah, because they were still doing it. They were still doing stuff like that, bro.
Yeah, they were.
But that's part of being a mischief fucking teenager, dude.
Yeah.
Like, if you're still doing that in your 20s, like, yeah, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're in your junior and senior in high school,
yeah,
and you're, like, egging your friend's house and
egging your friend's house. I mean, never egged a friend's house.
Not a friend. I never egged a friend's house, but egging other people's houses.
That's hilarious. I'm just saying. Dude, that's hilarious.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. If I got egged now, I'd be fucking pissed.
Yo, 100%. As an adult,
like a grown man 100%. That would have to go out and walk. And my son, if his friend, I mean, luckily, no one does that anymore.
They can't get away with it. They
can't get away with
it. Yeah. It's a different world out there, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, from what I understand, like Gen Z has, like, they have completely different morals. Like, they're like, a lot of them are being celibate. A lot of them are like anti-alcohol, anti-drugs. I mean, this is just.
I think that's awesome.
That's just like we're on the street. Like I don't know. I don't really have many ties to it.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, it's like they're trying to like differ themselves from what their parents did.
Makes
you know what I'm saying? It's almost like their version of rebelling against like who their parents were. Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just I heard that somewhere.
No,
I love it because it's like hell yeah! Like what a great way to live.
Why?
What a great way to fucking like think. As a youngster.
Yeah, well, I believe it. I believe it because I think that's the pros of, like, the internet.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of cons, right?
Yeah.
With the stimulation that comes with the internet and a lot of other things, right? Because kids are a lot more reliant on that. But at the same time, when you hear, like, you know, people that you look up to, like your Hubermans, your Rogans, your Williams, like, all these idols and like and then you come to find out it's like, dude, they don't party, they don't, it's like, I don't really drink much anymore, I don't do this, I just work out and I do this, like, and you see how successful and happy and how level set they are, like, who doesn't want a role model like that?
Totally.
You know, so I think that just, you know, I think that probably has a big piece of it. And to your point, like, even our older generation, it was normal for our parents to go home after a long day and drink.
Yeah.
That was like the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You go home, you had a long day at work, you have a glass of wine and maybe two, and then that's it. And then you do it all over again.
Right.
And I think some people that could work, but like, nah.
Yeah. I also feel like the internet's like starting to hold people accountable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like dude, if we had cameras when we were younger, we would be in so much trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's not a chance.
There's not a chance.
No.
There's not a chance. So I feel like there's something about this Orwellian situation that we're in where there's cameras everywhere that kind of keeps people in check, if that makes sense.
Pros and cons to that.
No, there's absolutely pros and cons to it. Like, I'm not a big fan of it, per se. I'm just saying, like, I feel like that's something that, like, adds to people second-guessing making bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, which particularly is good. Young kids, you know. And, like, the Me Too movement, as much as I feel like that was just like a witch hunt in a lot of ways, it also kind of like got people to like wake up a little bit to like, hey, I don't just get to make whatever decision I want. I can just brush it under the rug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm going to be held accountable. And if there's proof that I've done something, then it's going to be exposed.
Right.
You know?
Well, that, and also I think it's just, there's a lot more awareness around certain issues. That's and true. Certain things. Like, I think, unfortunately, I think people take it too far, like, just like everything.
Yeah.
You know, they want to run with it. But I think it also makes you more aware, be like, damn, I was just kidding when I said, like, dude, bullying back in the day, like the stuff we used to just joke around with, I look back and I'm like, dude, that probably hurt that person's feelings.
Oh my God.
Dude. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, totally. And I feel like shit to this day, bro. I remember an exact incident and obviously I will not say, even though who knows who the fuck is listening. No one's listening.
Four people are listening.
Four people. But, I to this day feel guilty because like I was just being a punk in class,
totally
teasing, and I was just being a rowdy, silly boy. But like, it definitely was like a jab. And if I was in that person's shoes, like, that's fucked up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So,
yeah, I'm really glad that, like, even though, and I don't mean to throw them under the bus, but like, I'm glad that I made friends with Sean and Ethan because I didn't get bullied.
Right.
Because I had them.
Right.
Like, nobody would, like, people know who I would, what, like, those, they knew who my friends were.
Yeah.
And they thought twice about saying some shit. Oh,
they'd get cut, bro.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Now, there's people who, like, you know, tested it.
Yeah.
You know, and Tanner didn't, he did not give a shit. And shout out to him, you know what I mean? Like, good for you, dude. But he also didn't bully me.
No,
he just wouldn't make comments. Totally. He would just make comments. It wasn't, like, a bully thing where, like, you know, I'd, like, see him and, like, have to worry about a situation going down by any means. Like, he just be in class and like just say some rude shit,
right?
Because he's from Boston and that's just a East Coast personality.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's, I think that's more the lines. Like, I never was a bully. It's just like, I just remember I would just say some wild shit. And to this day, to this day, I've said some wild shit. And if my friends, our close group of friends, like, they, luckily, I hope they know who I am. It's like, They just know it's just me being fucking stupid.
And some of them still deserve it. Some of them deserve it. One person in particular deserves to be just humiliated.
Yeah, but that's like, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, dude, if you can't talk shit to your boys and then vice versa, like, that's not a good relationship in my opinion.
Totally.
Like, you call me, you say some shit to me, I say some shit to you, and it's just... But it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude, you got to call each other out.
I have the funniest story. I'm not going to say it on air because it's super inappropriate, but remind me after.
Okay.
About something the dad said last time. He's super witty. Witty is very funny. It's very, very funny. I wanted to tell you when you first got here, but we had other things to talk about. So, is there anything you wanted to talk about in particular? I know you got your little notebook over
here. Yeah. I mean, dude, so I know like today's kind of topic of mine is more of like how to be
optimistic
and glass half full, and that's kind of how we started off the conversation and stuff like that. I don't know, man. I think I've never really before this, I haven't like dug deep into maybe the backstory and like the philosophy and all that behind it. But at the end of the day, I think it's just kind of my motto is just, if you're level set and if you're positive, like, things will work out.
Yeah.
Like, good things happen. And if it doesn't, like, there's going to be, you know, things that come from that. Right.
Totally.
And like one, I did write down some quotes that I really like stoicism is like, it's not what happens to you, but it's how you react to it that matters.
I mean, that's literally the entire, like, That's the whole theme of stoicism, right?
Control what you control. Yeah.
Well, and so I really like that topic because, you know me, I love my stoic philosophy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm also somebody who's like, I would rather live in a world where I'm happy than like miserable.
Right.
That's my whole thing is like, you can make the decision to be like happy about things, even if they don't always go your way.
Right.
You know, you can't, to that quote's point, like, you can't control everything that happens. You can control only like how you react to it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people choose to live in misery.
Yeah.
And because they want to play like this game of victimhood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I personally,
which I've been guilty of at times for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we all have like to a certain degree, but it's like, is that a mindset that you live in perpetually? That's the question. No. Right. And that's the whole thing. It's like, we're always going to be down. There's always going to be situations that's like, doesn't go our way. We're upset about it. We're in sales. Like, we know exactly how this game plays out.
Right.
If you're not hitting your quota, you're on the verge of getting fired.
Totally.
And that's on the forefront of your mind.
Right.
But if you don't have that optimistic mindset, like, oh, it's going to work out, I'm going to get this deal in, then you're just going to live in misery. But people, I think, live in misery, like, almost purposefully. Like, they almost want to, like, live in this mentality.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe because I think... That, like, to be the more in the, like, Because the victim, just being the victim, like they think maybe they'll just, that will bring more people to feel sorry for you and give you that reassurance. And I think at a certain extent, we all want that.
It's validation.
It's validation, right? Totally. It's like, hey, I'm having a bad day. Like this happened. Be like, oh, poor you. Like, thank you. You know, like that's just human.
Yeah.
You want some kind of, but like at the same time, I think what comes of that is, you, if that's all that, like, if say that you're that person, if every time you, and it's just like, oh, this and that, it's like, you're never going to want to spend time around that person, right? You're never, it's just like, it's very hard to, you want to be around positivity. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, okay, well, how can we turn this around?
Right.
Right. And that's why, like, to the point with like the being in sales, which, you know, is a whole game at itself and the whole quota thing and all that. It's like, I think I didn't know I was going to like sales or be in sales per se. Like when I first, you know, got out of high school, I was like, I want to be a gym teacher. I want to be in fitness. Like I wanted to be in something like that. I never thought I would, you know, be a salesperson. And then I kind of finally came to the fact that like the sale, like my mentality was if I put in the reps, if I put in all the work, the deals will come or the it'll naturally organically happen.
Yeah.
Right. It's like just back to like control. And it's like, okay, if I'm like making these mini calls, if I'm sending out this, if I'm like doing all the processes and I'm not getting like rewarded maybe for like all my efforts right away, but then like months down the road, it's like, hey, thanks for following up. Like then you see that like, man, it's that recognition. It's that, but it's like, if you keep that level set and just know that everything you're doing right now, like all the reps you're putting in every single day, all the stuff, you might not see results right away, but then when you do, and it comes easier, 'cause you realize like, man, I have actually, and now you're seeing all your hard work like pay off. That's what it's all about, you know? And that's just, I think that's just controlling what you can control.
Yeah. Like, well, I'm glad you brought that up because it's like this business that I'm starting has been really like taxing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I try everything I can and I just don't get the results that I guess want.
Right.
I didn't really know what to expect. But I'm not getting the results that I want at this point. But at the same time, because I've been through sales for so long, I've been involved in sales for so long, I understand it's just a process.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of like showing up every day
and
laying that brick.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then just being like, okay, I think it's just a little played out, but I'm going to use it anyway. Like the idea of like just getting 1% better every single chance you can.
So cliche,
you
know what I mean? It's so true, dude.
And I will say it's hard. As an entrepreneur, because I'm balancing so many different things,
right?
You know, we have the newsletter, we have the podcast, we're trying to sell the supplements,
right?
I'm dealing with camera gear. I have these lights. I have the audio thing that I, you know, was playing with last week, which prayed to Allah that it works this week. So it's like, where do I spend my time? Like, where do I get 1% better? You know what I mean? And it's like every single task that I sit down at, I have to go back in my repository and remember, like, okay, what did I not like about this? Like, how can I make an improvement here? How can I make an improvement here? But going back to the theme of today's discussion is, like, I try to meet it with as much optimism as I possibly can. And I'm trying to, like, have fun with it.
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing is, like, if I take it too serious. Well, that's
what we decided from the get-go.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly it. It's, like, as partners, as business partners, we sat down and we're, like, listen – let's just have fun with this. Like, no matter what the outcome is, it's going to work out one way or another. Like, I trust my capabilities. I trust my intellect and my intelligence. I trust my ability to be a hard worker.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit there and beat myself up about every little detail. And I'm not going to beat myself up about the results that I want if they don't come right away.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to have fun with it. There are times where I get stressed out, but then I have to remember, like, look how good I got it.
Yeah.
I have it so good.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody gets this opportunity.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think if you just remind yourself and get back to, like, what was the purpose of starting IntentFit in the beginning? What was the whole reason? And what was, like, what's the ultimate goal? Well, if we get into it and just like expect just rewards right away, then we're just kind of going to be in the, we're not going to appreciate right. it as much too.
Yeah.
So I think that's just like anyone who goes into something and knows that like, you know what, this is going to take me, this is, I got to build one layer at a yeah. time. We're building the house, building, you know, brick by brick,
yeah.
you know, layer by layer. And it's like, eventually, hopefully things work out. And you know what, honestly, I think with what we're trying to get out with our message and like to speak on the growth philosophy and preach fitness and all that stuff, I think it's just so contagious, and it's something that hopefully people do want to hear. But at the same time, man, I think there's going to be so many opportunities. Who freaking knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. And then, and that's another and the thing.
People we get to meet.
You know, oh, I mean? Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Two things to that. One, I not only am I trying to have fun with this, but like what I try to, when I do the solo cast and when I write the newsletter, my main goal is like, how can I add as much value as possible? Like, I'm really not trying to think about it from the perspective of like, how many subscribers can we get? How much money can I make? I'm genuinely not thinking about that. I'm like, how can I lay this out in a way that people are going to like be able to read the newsletter in a quick, easy fashion and get as much value as possible and then walk away happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And same thing with the podcast is like, I don't like this conversation is great, but I also want to bring on people who have different perspectives and yep. have different opinions.
Absolutely.
And when I do my solo casts, I'm like, I'm really trying to be as like authentic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an element of like, how do I tell a story while I do this podcast so I can keep people's attention?
Right.
You know what I mean? And like I check the metrics on our newsletter, and when people say they're not happy with it, I mean, it's partly because they probably don't want the newsletter that I sent
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And so they're just being, you know, cranky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I have to take that with a grain of salt. And then what was the last part that you mentioned there? I had another point that I wanted to make, but I can't remember what you said.
About just like building layer. No. So I lost it.
Yeah, I lost it.
Yeah.
There was another point that I wanted to make there, but that's okay.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, it just we our mindset and our like goal for this is like, because like I know you and I over the years when we are in a group setting or we're just with somebody and we're like, I mean, we were personal trainers before. It's what we do. And then anytime we're out and about and like you get talking about fitness and oh, growth yeah. and all this, that's what just what fires up. And totally. We're just so eager to like jump in and be like, hey, I learned this and what, and then from the people that are already succeeding, you know, in life or at the gym and doing all this, like you're like, want to learn, like you always want to be curious and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of what my hope and goal yeah. is just to, I mean, we have close people, you know, to us that are really successful
yeah.
and like have really good, like, you know, work ethic and, you know, and they juggle a family, a career, and then also they're in shape and then yeah. all the things. And it's like, I want to know, like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
What's your day to day?
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. 'cause you're doing it.
Yeah.
I see it. And then also on top of that, like these other people, like, you know, you see these, you know, big level, you know, either C-suite folks or just anyone who's like, I want to know like what drives you, what excites you, what makes you motivated, what makes you get out of bed every day.
Right.
And, you know, how are you able to stay like on the tracks? How yeah. are you able to stay so disciplined? You know what I mean? And I think that's what motivates me is like hearing how other people are doing it. And then and then reversing and be like, okay, well, I can do it then.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right? Like if they can do it, what's the difference? It's just like, it all comes down to just yeah. discipline and being really, you know, prescriptive with your time and intentional.
Yeah.
And like all those other things. So it's like, dude, everyone's like, what's the secret sauce and how are these people killing it? And it's like, I don't know if there really is a secret sauce. I think it's just routines, discipline, consistency,
yeah.
like, and being grateful, and then just also just being humble and
happy. I think the secret sauce starts with gratitude.
Right.
Like truly, like I really do think like just being grateful for what you have and like the opportunities that you have in front of you.
Right.
Like that's what first of all sets the tone.
Right.
And then, you know, like the idea of being disciplined and consistent, like without that, you're not going to go anywhere. But I think what I'm really trying to do with this is just be as authentic as possible. Like, I don't want to be cheesy. I don't want to come off like,
yeah,
like a know-it-all. I'm not a know-it-all. I don't know all these subjects that I'm going into, but like, right. I really authentically want to like grow as I teach people,
right,
and as I preach to people, you know what I mean?
Well, that's like, I think, I mean, dude, just me just passively trying, like I've tried to follow this stuff, but like, I don't do it enough. So just me, like just kind of wanting to like jot down some quotes and like learn some things a little bit more. It's like, it made me be more aware, and it reminded me like of how to be a better person and control what I can control. And I was like, so for that, that's why I'm like, not only are we're like trying to like learn about people and then spread, you know, the growth of fitness and the love of fitness and growth mindset and all that. But at the same time, it's only going to make me sharper and give me more tools and hold me more accountable.
Dude, 100%. So like with these solo casts that I'm doing, like I have to learn about like a specific subject every week, which by the way is really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to like sit down and like learn about something brand new.
Yeah.
But I'm like getting this education while I'm doing it.
Right.
Which is really fun. Right. I really enjoy it because now I'm starting to think about things much differently. Like I think we've kind of gone into this realm of this, of the conversation where we're talking about like habits, and like there's this concept called identity-based habits, where it's like your habits ultimately lead to like the identity that you want to become and who you are. Mm-hmm. And like, that's who you and I are. Like people, I think, look at us as being like the guys who like to go to the gym. And so when they have questions, they come to us.
Right.
You know, they're curious about, hey, Q, what's your routine? Yo, James, what are you doing, you know, for your chest? Like, what do you eat? What does your food prep look like? And then we take that identity on. We take that identity on as being like these fit, I don't want to say gurus, but like these, you know, fitness bros. We'll just use that word. It's a little less,
I mean,
like,
I need to get more jacked, but yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Totally. You know what I mean? Totally. But what's fun about that is it then reinforces us to want to continue to do that.
Yeah.
And then motivates us. Holding yourself accountable. Yeah, 'cause then you're like, I can't let myself slip here.
Totally.
Because if I do, then I'm losing that aspect of my identity that I've already built and that I'm proud of and it motivates me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, that's just one example of it. Fitness really is like huge because it's like, it's how people, like you look a certain way when you're fit.
Yeah.
And so people can see that immediately. Also, you as an individual, like become far more confident when you're working out.
Yeah.
Not just because of the way you look, but because you know that you're disciplined. You know that you show up for yourself every day.
Yep.
You know that you have the ability to be consistent. Yep. There's a lot of things that kind of tie into it. So that's huge, but there's other areas of life where it's like, I am trying to be somebody who like really embraces all areas of like the growth mindset, and not just from a Western philosophy perspective, but like different cultures and how they approach life. And I've got a really good topic this week that I'm going to release, and I'll tell you later about it.
Okay.
But like, that's the identity that I now want to take on. And so I'm just trying to develop these habits of like reading more articles, listening to more podcasts. Fitness is great. It's always going to be like at the forefront of what I do and who I am. But now I'm trying to take on new habits where I like, I'm becoming like not a different person, but a new version of myself.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you really think back, I mean, talk to anyone. Where are we at on time, by the way?
I got you. We're at 102.
Oh, okay.
What time do we need to?
1:30. So we're fine.
Okay, we'll stop it in like 20 minutes.
We're good.
Okay.
I mean, talk to anyone, man. Like I got stopped at the coffee shop by one of the ladies that we see all the time. Yes.
Yeah, she talked to me about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's just like she's like, remind me what you guys do. And then and then this is just like the running theme with everyone, including myself. Like, yeah, I was doing good in the gym, but then I was traveling and at work and this and that. And then you were like, I want to get back into it. That's what everyone says. I need to get back into it because everyone knows what they need to do. Everyone knows that like you're your best self when you go to the gym. Like, yes, there's so many other gym or whatever,
right.
whatever your outlet is. It's like, if your thing is like, go out and you just want to go run with your dog or whatever. Like if that's like your thing, if any kind of movement, you want to go play pickleball, whatever. But it's like, it's just so, it's like you hear that all the time. And then we do it too. It's like, man, if I always think back at like when I'm my best self, I'm my happiest self. And I reflect in my journal and I look back at what I wrote. And it's like, I have a note of being like, this is the best I've ever felt. And the reason why I feel this way is because I'm consistent with my push-ups, my pull-ups, my abs. I wake up every morning. I drink my water. I go for a walk. I go sunlight. And I was like, I wrote that down to remind myself, be like, dude, get back to work, bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Because then it's just like you take some time off or you get away from that because it's just complacency. We all are guilty of it.
Yeah.
You want to sleep in. You want to – but it's like if you really get back to like, dude, what's going to make me happy and be the best version of myself? Yeah. It's that stuff.
Yeah.
It's starting from that. It's being active. Just plain and simple.
No, 100%. I think no matter what discipline you're like trying to adhere to, whether it be like a fitness discipline or even like religious practice or like meditation or journaling or anything like that, there's always going to be an ebb and flow.
Right.
Like, we're not David Goggins. We're not Jocko Willink. You know what I mean? So there's going to be an
evolution. I like to have fun, too.
100%. Yeah. I like to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we can't be fitness bros. Yeah. Yeah. I'm having too much fun.
Yeah. Like, I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm trying to watch what I eat, but at the same time, it's like, dude, if you want to go eat a cheeseburger, go fucking eat a cheeseburger.
Dude, if you want a french fry, go eat a french fry.
Earn it.
100%. But I'm not going to sacrifice like having fun in life.
No.
You know?
No, I don't think you should.
No.
Truly.
Yeah. Like, I think that just gives me anxiety, to be honest with you, more than anything. It's like the idea that I have to be perfect all the time. That would just drive me nuts.
Well, I ran into that trying to, like, especially as a new parent, I was like, I got to be this perfect parent. Right. I got to be this perfect role model. Like, and like, I got to do everything perfect. And then you realize, like, you're overwhelming yourself and you're setting up unrealistic expectations because,
well, what example are you setting for your boy?
Exactly.
You know, like, oh, you can't have fun. You always have to be disciplined.
Right.
No. And that's not even you.
No,
that's not you. You're Mr. Good Time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You're Mr. Fun, dude. You do a really good job of like balancing, like having a really good time with also realizing like, okay, nice. I've got X, Y, and Z to do. So I got to make sure that I pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you're also really good about doing it at like the right time. Like when we're with the homies.
Yeah.
Let's have fun.
Yeah.
Let's like, okay, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. No guys, let's one more hand of poker. Let's go to the cigar bar.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like trying to extend the fun.
Yeah. And everyone's like, no dude, we're fucking 35. Like I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
But then at home, like you are really good about being disciplined and as busy as your schedule is, you find time to like go to the gym and you find time to journal. And, you know, you told me the other night, you're like, I did yoga like in my living room in front of my boy. And it's like, like that's great. I think a lot of people would just be like, no, it's been a long day. I'm just going to relax. I am guilty of that. Right. I don't have half the schedule you do.
Right.
You know, or at least not the responsibilities that you do. Right. I have a pretty crazy schedule, but I don't have the responsibilities that you do.
Well, I think that also it helps to be like, okay, if I'm not going to go lift weights, cause like, that's when I feel like my best is me personally.
Yeah.
Like everyone's different. But like me personally, like if I don't lift weights in like 2 days, three days, I get fucking anxious. I get anxiety. I'm stressed out. I'm short tempered. Like I'm just not a good person to be around. Like truly, like I really think that is one huge outlet for me. But at the same time, life happens and you can't always like, could you figure it out? Could I do some push-ups? And if that's not really your motivation, like just go do something else and go like for me, if I can go just hit balls for an hour, if I skipped a workout, but I went and hit the driving range for an hour.
Yeah.
I'll be like, you know what? At least I was out there.
Out in the sun, you're out in nature. Like that's the best thing about golf.
And it's something I enjoy doing. I love hitting golf balls. Love it.
Yeah.
I
wish I had that passion. I love golf with all my heart. I think it is probably my favorite sport besides basketball. I do love basketball because I can shoot basketball all by myself and be completely content in that moment. As much as I love golf, I cannot bring myself to practice it. That's why my handicap is so bad.
But and then you're good. You're actually pretty good.
Well, I have
just kind of funny.
It's It's the little things. It's the thing. It's my chipping and putting that just completely destroy my score.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I could be much better with making contact with my irons. My irons are not my iron play. Like from like 150 to call it 70 yards, my iron play is not good, which is basically every iron I have.
Right.
You know what I mean? And sometimes I get lucky. Sometimes, you know, my 7-iron, if I could use my 7-iron, I'm like, okay, this is, you know, hopefully it goes straight, but I'll at least make good contact with it.
Yeah.
I love that club. But my 4-iron, man, I don't even.
That's the hardest. I think it's the hardest club in the bag.
I hate that iron, dude. I hate it so much. I shouldn't say that because I try and talk sweet to it when I pull it
out.
You
have to.
I'm like, baby, let's just, like, just do me a favor this time. Yeah. And I find that it goes the furthest when I swing the like the softest.
Always.
But then like if you're like on a par three with like water in front of you, you're like, I gotta get over this water.
Yep.
And it just gets in my head.
I think my like reason for just being so upset, I mean, this is probably, it's everyone, is like why they do go to the range and do this. Is it, I mean, I've naturally been decently athletic like my whole life, but it's like there's something about golf, dude. It is hard.
Oh, it's so hard.
It's so hard. And if you look at, like, you know, NBA players who are, in my opinion, I think basketball players, like, legit basketball, like, your LeBron James, like, any high, really good basketball player, I think basketball takes some of the most athleticism all around with high eye-hand coordination. Like, if you can play basketball well, you could probably play a lot of other sports well, in my opinion. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, every sport has its own, like, certain things. And, you know, like, ice hockey, like, I can't play. I've never played ice hockey, so, like.
I've never been on skates,
bro. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know how I would handle that. But if you see, like, LeBron James or Giannis or these guys grab a golf club and see how awkward they are, it's hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious. But it also, you realize that it's not just a physical game. Like, golf is so much more mental than any other sport, I feel like. I mean, maybe not any other sport, but if you think about it, like, if you're not good in between your ears and if you're all over the place, like.
That's everything.
That's everything.
That's every. It's it literally, everything. It's literally everything. So, like, it's funny because it's, like, one of the hardest sports, but I also, and not to discredit it at all, I also think it's one of the easiest sports to get pro to go pro in.
Golf?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'll tell you why. Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you why. First of all, in basketball, you absolutely need genetics to be good in basketball. And to even make it into basketball. So that already cuts out a tremendous amount of people.
That's and a you, small
and,
roster.
And you can say and you can make the same argument for basically any other major sport.
Yeah.
Right. You can say that for basketball or for football. You can say that for hockey. You can say that for all these other things. Right. The other thing is we know two people who are not disciplined in a lot of their lives, but they could very well go pro if that's all they did with golf.
Totally.
Right. Then you have people like John Daly. Yeah. John Daly is an absolute like disgrace to human physiology.
Right.
Right. But he's an incredible golfer.
Yeah.
He's an incredible golfer.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you think about it from like the perspective of, you know, what does it take to become a pro golfer? What is it? You have to win a bunch of tournaments and then you have to go to a pro-am or something like that and then win that. But you can do that at any age. You don't need to do that in your 20s. You don't need to do that when you're younger. Yeah. You can do that when you're 40.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
I know
it's a point. I know. And I hopefully people fucking. This,
say something. Say something.
Yeah.
Leave your comment below.
But no, like truly, like I get what you're saying. I think just as someone who has tried, like who has played in tournaments and stuff, it's just hard.
I'm not saying.
To your point, you are right. Because like you hear those stories of like I just read this story recently where this guy was in prison and got out of prison and he's like 40 something years old. And now he's like winning golf tournaments. And it's like. Maybe there is a chance and you don't have to be like super physically, you know, able to be able to handle that. But it is interesting. I think it's a loaded. I mean,
I'm looking up right now the easiest sports to go pro in.
I mean, I would say obviously there's no one easy sport.
Okay. Anything. Are you ready for this? The first one on the list. The first one on the list is golf.
Is it golf? Really?
Well, this is just like the AI version. I wonder if there's like an actual list. Let's go to Sports Geek. So
I'm all lacrosse.
Well, so I don't really like this one because it's like the first one that they have listed is NFL. It's like 1 in 10,000 people can go pro in NFL. But think about how many people play in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a skewed.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of skewed. But the list, the AI list that pulled up, and I don't want to like spend too much time looking into it too much.
Well, that is kind of funny.
But it says golf, then what do you think? Think in the same kind of like realm.
Tennis.
That's up there. That's number three.
Pickleball. No?
I don't know if I agree with this fully, to be honest with you. The second one's bowling. Which for sure bowling.
Oh yeah.
For sure bowling. You could if you really fucking spend time, you could be a fucking professional bowler, dude.
That'd be awesome.
Then it says soccer, which I guess for a soccer, again, I think it falls in the category of just like how many soccer teams are out there, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like soccer is the most popular sport in the world.
Yeah.
Totally. So I feel like that would be something that you could argue. I was listening to Chad Johnson on Theo Vaughn's podcast, and he said soccer is like one of the most difficult sports he's ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard, dude.
Yeah, it's a hard
sport. It's a hard game.
And then the other one's silly. The other one's fishing. Like, who?
Oh, that's funny.
Who the fuck is. How do you be a pro fisher?
Yeah. Surprisingly skill involved.
And the other one's billiards.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But that would be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that one doesn't really take. Like, that and like bowling and golf, like, you don't have to like be physically demanding. Like, you don't have to like.
You just got to put a ton of time in.
Ton
just
of
like
time.
Anything.
Ton of time.
Yeah.
Ton of time. Yeah. Yeah. I don't mean to discredit any sport out
no,
there.
No, yeah. No, it's
yeah.
fun. It's
yeah.
fun.
Though. And I don't mean to shit on golf because it is hard, dude. It is really hard. I'm just saying, in terms of being able to go pro, I feel like it's.
I mean, you got to think. And like, this is me having. Okay. Yeah. Let's. Like,
we have 5 minutes, by the way.
We have a friend that. Is really good at golf.
Phenomenal.
And he's like he's hit some qualifiers.
We're going to have him on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him on.
Yeah.
And talk shit. I'm like, you know what the easiest sport
yeah.
to go pro is?
Yeah. But it's like, if you really think about it, I think genuinely, if he wanted to pursue it full time and didn't have what he has going on, and I think he's gifted enough and I think he's good enough already, if he spent his whole day doing that, I think he could do it.
Yeah, totally.
100%.
Totally.
100%.
Yeah. What's another funny thing about him, without calling his name out? He has the perfect, like, mentality to be good at golf.
Totally.
Because he's, like, a stoic person.
Yeah.
He doesn't really get his high. Wild I mean, up. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in between his ears, but, like, he doesn't ever get, like, super, super high with his emotion.
Right.
And he doesn't always, he's not, like, ever, doesn't ever seem, like, super low in his emotion.
Right.
He's always super even keel.
Yep.
And that is golf. And that is where you and I have a problem.
Oh, dude.
If I go in the... You're either, like, on top of the world...
Bro.
Or you're, like, not having it.
Dude, that's why I think I love golf so much, is because it's so good for life. Yeah. It's like, if you hit the ball in the native or in the rough, and then you're like, okay, well, it's not a perfect shot, but it's like, I'm still in it. It's just like anything. Things didn't go my way, but hey, let's just chip it up and down, save a par, and let's get out of here. And if you think about that in like life terms, and the reason why it does frustrate me, because I'm like, I get discouraged and I'm like, damn it.
Well, dude, I am like, as soon as my golf game starts going to shit, it's really hard for me to pull back.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard for me to be like, okay, like just one shot at a time. I like have a bad chip and I'm like, I lose it. Lose it, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I give up on this hole. It's going to be a double bogey anyway. I might as well pick up my ball and go to the cart and wait for them to finish.
Yeah, after that time back in Breckenridge when we played and I hit my golf bag and broke my 7-iron like years ago.
I don't remember that. Oh, for the bachelor
party?
That's so funny.
That was a big turning point because our friend who we're talking to was like, dude, there's no point in doing that. And then you just ruin your whole day and you just ruin. And one bad shot is not going to make or break your game.
Yeah.
You can literally bounce back. I mean, that's why there's 18 holes.
Yeah.
That's why there's however many shots. And it's like, I played just recently and I hit some bad shots, but then I hit some really good ones. And then I started to heat up towards the back and I was like, dude, this is why I love this game.
Well, and it also is like half the reason why I love golf so much is because I'm doing it with my friends. So there's no reason to be upset because you're just out there, you're having a good time, you're not working, you're not looking at a screen, you're not, you know, you're not having to deal with like life's nonsense. You're, if you can play golf, if you have the ability to play golf, like you're really well off.
Yeah.
You're really lucky.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that we like allocate all this land to playing a sport is insane as an American.
Yeah.
So it's kind of easy to like get frustrated at like the way you're playing.
Yeah.
But if you just scale things back and you realize like, yo, I'm playing golf right now.
Well, especially when you become extra busy and then you don't get to go out and play as much. And then you took it for granted previously.
Yes.
And then you just like realize like, man, I don't care how I play today. Totally. I just am happy to be out and I'm enjoying the time with my friends or I'm enjoying the time out with who. And that's like, I think the biggest thing is like, and then that's when you play well. Isn't that stupid?
It is funny how that works. It's the same thing with like your swing, right? Like if you swing too hard, if you're forcing it too much, that's when everything goes awry.
Yep.
But if you just keep your wrists loose and it's just an easy, simple swing for whatever reason, that ball goes further, straighter every time.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll end on this story about you that I hated you this day. It was the first time we ever went golfing. Well, when we went to the driving range, and I was like, so you're good at every athletic endeavor I've ever seen you at. All right, good basketball player, great bowler, whatever. I was like, dude, this is finally going to be the sport that I can show him how to fucking do. Because I've been playing it my whole life, you know. And I remember like, okay, I'm going to show him how to do this. And you're hitting the ball further and straighter than me from the day one. And it drives me nuts. So you do cheat, genetics, though. You do cheat. Yeah, you do cheat on the course. I've seen you drop the ball a few times. I've seen you move it. I've seen you. And, like, your mulligans, bro. Like, you take mulligans.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. I will say, in my earlier days of golf, like, I definitely didn't score properly. Like, I'll wear that. I'll wear that.
As on camera.
Yeah, I'll wear that. Like, not meaning like I didn't score probably, but I'll be like, I'll just kick this one out. I was like, I'm not on the tour. I'll just play this from here. Well,
no, because I think any amateur golfer who's just out there for fun, we should do that. Like, I'm not, like, if my ball is hitting on a rock or something, I'm not going to fuck up my club because it's the rule says play it where you lie, you know?
Right.
And I'm also not going to, like, hit off dirt if I don't think I'm going to get a good shot. I'm going to move my ball.
Yeah.
I don't care. No, I'm just giving you a hard time.
No. It's deserved. It's fine.
No, it's fine.
But now, like, ever since I kind of made that switch of, like, posting a score, I'm like, I mean, that's just the definition. And that's why the game is so beautiful. It's like integrity, right? Yeah, it's like, and it's like, I don't want to be a guy that is like, says I'm a 10 handicap. And then I go out and be like, this guy's a 10 handicap.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to get exposed.
Oh, I deliberately raise my handicap for GRC.
Yeah.
So that I can. Need to. Yeah, raise it high.
Well, I've already.
Schaefer was notorious for keeping his low.
Yeah.
And then he'd go out and play and be like, I don't know what happened today.
No.
Talk about a guy who like is like Mr. Optimistic. He is.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Optimistic. We only have 9 minutes, so we'll wrap here in a second.
Okay. But no, I mean, that's it. And you're only going to. It's going to put less expectations on yourself, less pressure on yourself.
Totally.
And it's like, who cares? Who cares?
You're out there having fun.
You're out having fun. And that's why I think the handicap system makes it fun, because like if you're a 15, I'm a 10, well, we just take that into account, and then we can actually, if we actually want to compete that day, it's like, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it a little bit more fun.
But. Yeah. Well, I love what you said at the beginning, bro. Attitude is everything. It really is. You know, when I first got into sales, I had a manager that told me, like, because I was struggling at sales as a software rep.
Yeah.
I remember him pulling me aside. And he's like, just remember, like, you can only show up with a good attitude and give your best effort. So attitude and effort, and everything else will fall into place. So that's the theme of today's podcast. Bro, I can't wait to tell you. I had, like, this list that I wanted to go through for the topic that I have coming up whenever I release it on Tuesday or whatever. I don't know when I'm going to release this, by the way.
This?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Because my cadence is usually Tuesdays, and I drop the newsletter on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. Let's hope that the mic worked this time.
If not, whatever, dude.
Yeah. It was a good conversation.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Please subscribe to our newsletter. I'll leave it in the link below.
And Bubbly, please sponsor us, because I fucking love Bubbly.
Bubbly, please sponsor us. All right. Later, guys.